Hey, welcome to the Expositors Collective Podcast, episode 272. I'm your host, Mike Neglia, and I'm also the guest this week as well. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that most of the time it's me interviewing preachers, authors, scholars, and from time to time, we also release some of the audio from our in-person training events, and that's what you have this week. This is the opening session from our recent Boise, Idaho training event. It was a wonderful time hosted by our friends at Calvary Boise, and I got to have the opening address. Usually the opening session is a time of musical worship, and then we would have David Guzik or Tim Chaddick speak about the power of expository preaching. And much to everyone's disappointment, neither of those guys were available to come to Idaho. So it's little old me. But I try to do my best and to kind of prepare the stage for the power of expository preaching, which ultimately is based in the power of God's word itself. And so it's not that this method of preaching is powerful. It's that God's word is powerful, and this is a way that we can truly unleash it, or rather unsheath it, and allow the sword of the word of God to do its work, cutting both ways, both the preacher and the pew. If you want to come along to hear this type of thing in person, well then, June 2nd and 3rd, please join us in Austin, Texas. There's going to be details in the show notes or on our website, expositorscollective.com. And then later on, October 27th and 28th in Indianapolis, Indiana, we'll be doing the same thing. We're so excited to be taking this on the road, coming to Texas for the first time, Indiana for the first time. We really believe this is an investment into the churches and the up-and-coming preachers in each of those regions. Consider coming along, consider sponsoring somebody, consider bringing your team, because we want to help you grow in your personal study and public proclamation of God's word. All right, here's the recording from Boise, Idaho, on the power of expository preaching. It's preaching that cuts both ways. I've been assigned to speak about the power of expository preaching. And so I'm eventually going to be getting to Hebrews chapter 4. So if you want to turn there in advance, well, then you certainly can. But my assigned theme is the power of expository preaching. The power of expository preaching. So even that question or that thought of the power of expository preaching, it kind of acknowledges that there are different kinds, different like varieties or genres or philosophies of how we can handle God's word, either from the pulpit, around a table, from your couch, to others. There's different philosophies, there's different ways and means to teach the Bible. And so I've been asked to speak about the power of expository preaching. Just to also say, you've been given a booklet. That booklet follows the order of what we're going to be doing. There's resources in there that are loosely connected to what I'm going to be speaking about, but that's actually what's called bonus content, all right? So don't think that you could just skip this and then read the booklet later on. This is completely different, whole new thought, whole new talk, but that's just a bonus for you. That's like the show notes in a podcast, just like extra bonus material right there. All right, so the idea of what variety of preaching are we all about? And here at the Expositors Collective, you can guess, we're about expository preaching. But I think even that the phrasing, like what kind of preaching is best, maybe makes us think of the different options. The other kind of preaching is maybe what's called topical preaching. And some people prefer topical sermons, because topical sermons can be like a topical ointment because they go right where the itch is and they deal with it right there on the surface. Others might prefer a more narrative approach to preaching, since basically, isn't life one big unfolding story? And aren't we just like individuals living a story? And so perhaps preaching and teaching should be essentially extended times of storytelling. Maybe preaching should be kind of the autobiographical, the vulnerable yet informative TED Talk. That's another option of how I could just tell you about my life and my struggles, and here's an interesting thought that occurred to me, and then actually there's a verse that connects to it, and then we have this journey of discovery together. Now, I would say the question that we should be asking isn't what kind of preaching is preferred, but the real question is this: is God's word powerful? And since the answer is yes, right, guys? Is God's word powerful? Thank you. Since the answer is yes, we have opportunities. For those of us who get to teach God's word in public, we're not looking for a method or a style of preaching that feels powerful. No, my friends, we actually are starting at the belief that because God's word is powerful, we need to discover the model of preaching that God that allows his word to speak the most plainly and the most directly. We should ask ourselves, what is the form of preaching that unleashes God's word the most effectively? I think the answer is expository preaching. Since the Bible is God's very words, and we have within themselves an expression of his very authority, the Bible carries with it the very authority of God. Here's a little bit of theology. We believe that all the words in scriptures are God's words, in so much as to obey the verses of scripture is to obey God. Or conversely, to disobey scripture is to disobey God. So closely has he wedded his very authority with the word that our obedience or disobedience to God himself has to do with our obedience or disobedience to God's word. Because of that, I believe expository preaching should be the most consistent offering that we offer unto the Lord and unto his people. So what is expository preaching? Quite simply, it is exposing what's inside of the pages to our hearers. It's exposing it so that everyone can understand and believe and apply God. Think of the reporter, and this reporter does an expose on a politician or a corporation. This reporter, she does the hard work of discovering what is hidden or shining a light on what has previously been unknown, and then she exposes it to the watching world through a newspaper, through a television report. What she's doing is she's saying, I want to tell you the true story about someone or something that you only had a surface level knowledge of. So on the newspaper tonight, if you see an expose, what a reminder of what expository preaching is to do, to take what's inside and to show it out for all to see. Now, this is not to imply that scriptures are unknowable or hidden behind secrets, much like how a politician would have layers and layers of secrets. Well, not all politicians, but some. Anyway, that's another topic. It's not that the message of scripture is inaccessible, but here's the sad truth. It simply is unaccessed by many. Big world of difference between something being inaccessible and something simply being unaccessed. We believe in something called the clarity of scripture or the perspicuity of scripture, which means that the Bible is able to be understood by God's people. Are there complex truths within the pages of scripture? Absolutely, yes, they are. But its main message is able to be understood even by the simplest member of Christ's church. I love in Psalm 19 where it says that your word is able to make wise the simple. It's not that you even have to be wise to understand it. If you're not wise, don't worry about it. God's word has a wisdom imbuing aspect unto it. So once again, it's not that the message of scripture is inaccessible, but simply it's unaccessed by many. And brothers, sisters, we have a chance to help people access it through expository preaching and teaching. So that's one aspect of this. We're taking what's inside the book and exposing it to others. We're taking God's word and showing it to others. Here's what also is happening. The expositor himself, as we go deep into the word is going deep into the hearts of the expositor. And so if your Bibles are open to Hebrews chapter 4, you're in luck, because I'm going to read not one, but two verses from that very passage. It says this, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Verse 13, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So the sword of the word of God, it cuts deep. And also, the sword of the Lord cuts both ways. Did you notice that? Cuts deep into the division of hearts. And then also, all things are naked and exposed. So the expositor is also, before God, the exposed one. Did you see that? Such is the power of God's word. That's why expository preaching is powerful, because it puts people into direct contact with God's word. And how does it? It exposes us. Do you guys want to learn something exciting that I only just discovered? At the end of verse 13, there is a word in Greek that only is used once in the whole Bible. And we'll put it up there in Greek, because you're all a bunch of scholars and you certainly already knew this. Trekelizo is perhaps how it is pronounced. And it's the only time this word is used in the whole Bible. Now, we could go outside of the scripture to find out other ways that this word is used. This is what's translated naked and exposed. So this is the word, particularly at the end of verse 13, for exposure or for being exposed. This is used, Philo, Josephus, and others, they use this word to describe two different events. This is what happens if you are accused of a crime and you are brought before the court. You would stand before your accuser, and the guard would hold a knife under your chin so that you had no option but to look your accuser in the eye as he would say what you are accused of being guilty of. You're not able to look down in shame. You're not able to squirm left or right to avoid the gaze. You are exposed. You have to look in the eyes of the judge and the court. It also is used in the wrestling arena as kind of the preliminary act before the wrestling act. Maybe we might see in boxing these days, you know, they bump fists, you know? Do you know what they did back in the day of the first century? They would grab each other by the throat. They would expose one another to each other. It was saying something grave, something important is about to take place. I'm not messing about. I know you. I'm face to face. I see you. This is what God's word does to us. Did you know that? Have you ever felt that? Now, I realize this is rather confrontational language, but isn't that what Hebrews 4:13 says? We're naked and exposed before him. Now, of course, we want to expose and exposit the Bible, but God, through the Bible, is going to expose us.
I want to highlight this now at the beginning of our training event, because over these next few moments, you're going to learn skills about inductive Bible study. You're going to learn how to outline. You're going to work about like how to assemble a sermon together. But like, may we never get the impression that we are powerful standing over a powerless book, and that we are breathing life into this, or certainly not that this is an autopsy, that we're like the coroner cutting apart bit by bit the corpse that's in front of us. No, my friend, it's a collision between the living God and the living expositor. And so there's the power of expository preaching in that it actually truly does cut both ways. And after our personal study, after our personal confrontation, as it grabs us by the throat, then and only then are we ready for public proclamation. Before we attempt to grab anyone by the throat, we first must be grabbed by the word itself. We're convinced of the inherent power in God's word. And so we shape our addresses. We craft our talks and our messages simply. We just want to expose one part of it at a time, one idea after the next. It should be a humble and confident act on the role of the Bible teacher. So the sword cuts both ways, right? It cuts the pulpit and it cuts the pew. It cuts the listener and it cuts the preacher as well. Another way that it cuts both ways is that it confronts and it also comforts. Again, I'm using exclusively negative and perhaps even a bit violent language, but also there is a specific comfort that comes from God's word applied with power and authority, expressing God's very heart, and that is unrivaled and unparalleled. So since this is God's very word, that means that we're not up here to speculate or to surmise or to comment. We're not up here just sharing some thoughts. We have something to proclaim. Here's how Peter writes this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve each other as stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My friends, the time that we're alive, I think there's no more sharing. It's time to proclaim. Like, we're in serious times, and people are awakening to look around the world and their lives and realize, like, frivolity is done. We're through with this. I'm not there to share or speculate or guess. The stakes are getting higher. I flew over here. I live in Ireland, and I flew over here yesterday. And of course, as often in a plane, I sit through, and I try to be so polite during the pre-flight safety briefings. You know, I've heard it hundreds of times over, and I know, guys, I know how to put a seatbelt in, you know, and I know what to do when the bag deflates, and I'm not going to be concerned if it doesn't immediately fill with air. I know all of this, and so does everybody else. But I try, as a public speaker, I try to like be the attentive listening. I know what it's like to speak to a bored audience, and so I try to be like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. But there is a difference when how that stewardess or that steward is explaining, this is how a seatbelt works, these are the emergency exits, during frivolous times, during ordinary pre-flight checkup. And there also is the times when turbulence is getting really bad. And then, ding, she comes back on and she gives instructions. Everyone knows, no more messing about. Let's listen to this lady. So let's not kid ourselves either. Your next sermon, it probably isn't going to change the world. But here's who can change the world: God. And you know what? God works through the teaching and explaining, the exposing of his world, of his word, that maybe, just maybe, at your next women's Bible study or your next youth group or whatever opportunity you get, that God can have a face-to-face encounter with an individual and God can do mighty things in and through that person. Who knows what ripple effect can go once we attempt, once we do diligent work to simply expose God's word. I'm going to end with a quote and then pray, and then we're going to work into our groups, okay? John Kostler says this, "The God who spoke the world into being now uses our words to shape the world into his will." What a kind God, as he allows us to fumble through his holy word, and as we expose it, he will do the grabbing and he can do the changing. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to get into some logistics of breaking into groups. So once again, Lord, I thank you so much for my brothers and my sisters, people that are taking time and investing money and a work day and effort into learning how to handle your word in a responsible manner. Lord, we're big on responsibility and wisdom and doing things decently and in order. But also, Lord, I pray that we would realize that you are powerful, mighty, that your word is living and active because you are living and active. And so I pray that our time gathered around in groups and looking at passages and doing exercises, that each of them, Lord, would be a real encounter with the real God. Thank you, Lord, that you've been honest with us about yourself. Help us to be honest with you about ourselves. Here we are. We offer ourselves to you. We have a collection of gifts and strengths and weaknesses and even doubts. And I pray, Lord, that over these next day and two, that you would fill us afresh. And Lord, that you would use us in ways beyond our wildest imaginations. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Please use us for who we are. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.